Blog Talk Radio.
5, 6, walking forward.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not yet.
Uh-huh.
Go!
Not yet.
We edited Sean in to go, yeah, to our intro music. Not really. You're just going to kind of freeball it.
I couldn't help it. Just so
dude,
infectious.
Who doesn't like
the groove
Beastie
was
Boys?
So infectious.
Who doesn't like the Beastie Boys?
Some people. I don't know.
Well, fuck those people.
Yeah.
I try not to swear on the show, but I was drinking earlier, so I'm just gonna let it fly today, Sean.
Oh shit! I actually had a beer before I went up last night, and I never do that, and I regretted it so much afterwards. I did okay, but I just don't like. Some people can do it. I can't do comedy after drinking. It's just not.
Yeah, I can do comedy. I don't know how people do comedy high. Anyway.
One of my favorite comedians is a stoner. Yeah.
I think most of our favorite comedians are doing drugs or drinking or somehow trying to cope with sad. Anyway, let's get started. That was awesome.
Oh, boy.
And that was awesome.
Yes, was.
Our conversation was just awesome. I'm Reuben Wolf.
I'm Sean Gibbs. Here we are again.
And today we're recapping season 1, episode 5 of the hit ABC sitcom, The Goldbergs. The episode's called The Ring. Which I was
it's so much better than last week's episode.
Well, a lot happened. The show's great entirely. A lot happened.
No, they built on a lot of stuff.
This is definitely like a mythology building episode.
Yes.
I will say not much 80s-ing happens.
No.
There's a few of them.
Yes.
And we do meet an essential character. She'll play a role. We'll get to her. And do you have anything else to say before we dive in?
That song, the. It's still growing on me, the theme song.
Oh, yeah. I wonder when we'll hear it. I'm stroking my barely beard.
I was wondering where you're going with the stroking.
So anyway, our opening narration is, the romantic comedies of the 80s. And Adam's watching Can't Buy Me Love, a movie with that introduced Patrick Dempsey to everybody in 1987.
You know what? I worked at a video store called Video Library, and that was a big hit, Can't Buy Me Love, when it came out on video. A little after my time, I never watched it. Never watched Can't Buy Me Love.
I wanted to ask, since you worked in the video store, actually, so my generation knows Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy, but... Every time they talk about Patrick Dempsey, like, they're like, oh, yeah, he was the star of Can't Buy Me Love. But, like, wasn't Patrick Dempsey, like, a huge star after Can't Buy Me Love?
Yeah, but he was, like, a teen beat kind of tiger beat kind of guy. You know, he was, like, a heartthrob, like a girl. Wasn't, like, an across-the-board, you know. He was no John Bon Jovi.
That's who Sean was jerking it to in the 80s.
Oh my god, no. I hated John Bon Jovi in the 80s, actually.
I'll be honest, John Bon Jovi was a hot chick in the 80s.
He was, yeah, before he went through the change, he was pretty hot.
Anyway, I wanted to point out, did you know, I can't remember from any other episode, but I know that Patton Oswalt, when he does his opening narrations, always goes, the blank blank of the 80s. Like, the 80s, like, it was just paradise to think about the 1980s, and you seem more of a realist of the 80s. Like, it wasn't that great, because you grew up in Kansas City, and they grew up in, like, this rich Philadelphia suburb.
Well, there was a lot of similarities. I mean, I grew up in near a neighborhood that I would say is very similar. Very, very, very similar. So I wasn't a rich kid, but I was surrounded by rich kids who had all the nice things that the Goldbergs had.
Okay, so
meaning
Adam's
Jewish
parents...
people, meaning really fun Jewish people. I hung out with a lot of Jews.
How many Goldbergs?
I hung out with the two Jewish people in my kid in my school. Yeah. No, there
were any of them named Goldberg?
I don't think so.
Well, everybody in the 80s was just like a walking stereotype, from what I understand.
True.
Anyway, so Adam's parents' romance is pretty... He's watching this romantic comedy because his parents' romance is pretty pathetic. I love this. Murray gives Beverly a birthday card, and she's like, my birthday was 2 weeks ago. And then she starts to recount the saddest birthday I think either of us have ever heard.
Yeah, and then she tells him that he promised to clean the garage or something. It was really, it kind of defined it. But who was it? Adam was talking about how he was romantically challenged, and then they pan to this, and it was like, oh, my God, this is their romantic day together.
Yeah, he said something. He said, I never saw my parents kiss. And I also never saw my parents kiss. But it worked out for my parents.
Yeah.
They got the divorce.
Yeah, I never saw my mom kiss my stepdad. And that was, and thank God it never happened. Yeah.
I don't know. I would, maybe because I've never been in a long-term relationship, I would hope I would want to kiss my wife, you know, after years of marriage.
Do you? Really?
Well, in my fantasies, I end up with Margot Robbie.
But still, wouldn't you get tired of the flavor profile of her mouth? Like, if you ate shrimp every day, you'd be like, I need a break from shrimp.
Good point. I don't know. Something to think about. But you were saying, Adam says, I grew up romantically challenged, and then he's freaking creepy as hell filming, and this is where we meet Dana Caldwell. He's filming
Dana Caldwell.
The
She's perfect.
Dana Caldwell.
She's perfect. How creepy was that?
That was so... what was young love for you? Like, when you had a crush, when you were 12, like, what was your go-to? What did you do?
I have to say this whole episode really fucking triggered a lot of shit in my psyche, and I feel like I need to go see a therapist because everything that he did that his grandfather told him to do, I feel like I did as well. Like, my aunt was my consigliere. Like, she told me to do all these things, like, do something big to show that you like her, and then I would do it, and it would fail so miserably, and I'd just be humiliated, and the whole school would find out about it. Like, I felt so in touch with him this whole episode. Like, when he said, I want to videotape her so I can play the tape back to practice talking to her. I think when I first had my first tape recorder, I tape recorded a conversation of my first girlfriend and I in like third grade because I liked her voice so much.
Oh my
and
God.
Then
that is so weird.
Right? Because you didn't, well, see, here's the thing too. It's not like you have the freedom today as an adult. Like back then you got to use the phone. Maybe. So I would maybe talk to my girlfriend at Sunday school and maybe one time on the phone during the week. Maybe. If I was lucky. So, yeah, there's all kinds of, like, creepy little stuff that happened that I realized I was a little creep, too. But it turned out okay,
like,
I think.
When you're, like, 12, like, you make no sense. Like, when all those emotions and hormones, like, literally kick you in the balls, it's like I was dry humping everything when I was 12. I was like a chihuahua. Like anybody's leg, any tree branch. Dude, I was getting I was a pillow pimp.
Damn. Yeah, I was a hot disaster. I really screwed it up with Barbara Myers, the hottest girl in school, when I got sat next to her in science class. the first day of seventh grade. But we'll talk about that later. I have an amazing story about that for where you really screw up with a girl.
Okay. So as you said earlier that Bev wanted Murray to clean the garage. So Eric, this is all in the opening, by the way. This is a long open. There's a lot going on. Yeah. So Murray recruits Barry and Erica, bad move, to go help him clean the garage. And I was trying to, John, this is going to be really exciting. So Can't Buy Me Love came out in 87, and Adam's watching it on home video. So we're thinking 88. This took some heavy spy work. I'm going to lay this knowledge on you. So in the garage, I'm trying to spot like maybe some old 80s something.
Yeah.
I see an old slip and slide box. There's really not much else that has a name to it. But then if you pause it at the right time, there's a box, like a filing box, and it says Ottoman Empire receipts 81 to 82. I don't know why that excited me. We have a consistent timeline. That's
yeah.
Why. This makes sense.
Well, also, Adam pulls out a keyboard with the little sampler on it that every single person had that played on it for like 2 weeks back then. And I would say that's about right around the same time that came out, that little keyboard, that Casio.
Yeah, that was like a real, was that like a, dude, that was like the thing that like everyone was like, I'm an artist. And then they would just like pound a few keys on that thing.
Yeah, they would just do the dog bark thing like Jane's Addiction. Roop, 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 roop.
So Erica finds a box of love poems written by Murray to
Anita.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who is Anita?
Love letters from October 4th, 1980-something, Patton Oswalt said. He always likes the 80-something.
You're always. I thought you would say, look, Sean's always surprised by the 80-something. It's every episode. That's why we have to come up with the timeline. But I love when Barry goes, I love when Barry's like, you have a secret family. And Murray's like, if I had a secret family, would I be hanging out with you idiots?
That was a great line. That was a fantastic line.
Now I have a question for you.
I wish I had yes.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I'm just burping.
Okay. I have a question for you. So we find out Anita is Murray's past fiance, and they trap Murray in the garage with the intent to go tell their mom. And I'm like, what are they? Why? Like, I know you're only five episodes in, but like, this doesn't seem consistent with like the Goldbergs. You know, like why? Like why would Erica the rebel and Barry the goof? Like I don't understand like the course of action here. Like we have to go tell mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why are they narking on dad? Why are they picking sides like that?
And then you know what happens, Sean? Do you remember what happens next?
No. I'm twisted up inside, but now How are you making that happen? How is that even possible? I'm not going to be able to go to sleep now. That song is going to be in my fucking head for the rest of my life now, goddammit.
It's such a good song.
It is. It's really well crafted.
So Erica gives the letters to Bev, and Murray's like, okay, or the look she gives Murray, I just want to say, like, Wendy McLendon Covey's acting in this scene is really good. Like, she gives Murray this look that, like, she's going to break down, or she doesn't know what to say, and then she just starts laughing.
Okay, we got to pull the car to the side of the road here into the parking lot, though. They keep putting her in these outfits that are for night evening wear, and it's clearly she's not going anywhere, and she's just wearing around the house. She has a leather bedazzled shoulder pad jumpsuit that's purple that she would not have been wearing during the day. She would have worn that if she was in a mediocre synth band or like going to a concert, but not around the house. That's not, it was like, I don't know. I understand they're trying to be comedic with her. There's certain times though in this episode where they really nail it though. So I'd just like to point that out. I'm all over her.
I'm glad you are. Now I'm looking at it now. She looks like she's going to a rodeo.
Ah. You know what though? Pardon me. For our G-rated audience out there, all the thousands of you, I had a woman from Kansas City that I'd kind of dated off and on over the internet, kind of back and forth. And she came out to New York and she had the bedazzled shirt when we went out one day, but it was inappropriate kind of to have it out during the day. And very long story short, this woman yelled at us to go back to where we came from.
What?
I'm like, I've lived here for 20 years, lady. But, I mean, this gal from Kansas City looked like she was from Kansas City. She was bedazzled. This was only a couple of years ago.
I guess bedazzled was a status symbol to some people.
There's something about it in the Midwest. I don't know what. It's never gone away.
Well, that's why they had the Rhinestone Cowboys, right?
That's a Rhinestone Cowboy. Glenn Campbell?
That's a Midwest thing, isn't it? I don't know. Glenn Campbell?
I love Glenn Campbell. They had a really crazy documentary about it. He lost his mind. And he kept playing until he died. Yeah, it's really, highly recommend it.
Okay.
He went
So anyway, Erica, Bev's not mad. And Erica's like, you're not mad? Like, he forgot your anniversary. I just want to point out this line. He forgot your anniversary. And Bev goes, in his defense, I didn't remind him enough. Marie's an ass.
Yeah. And then she says, my favorite line out of the whole show, I bagged my moose and slaps him on the ass. My moose?
To get bagged by a moose or to have a moose to bag? Isn't that what we're all looking for?
Oh.
Don't you want to be someone's moose?
Yeah. And then Murray says with the second greatest line. Do you remember what he said?
No. Are you going to play
marriage,
the song?
A good marriage is mutual not giving a crap. It's so good.
It's so true.
Honestly. Maybe you should just hit the theme song every time we nail like a bullet point where they say something funny.
our whole show is just one cold open. So go ahead.
I think you're going the same way.
So Erica and Bev are like, let's go to the library. Erica knows how to find out where people are engaged, and I just thought that was really weird. I'm like, what? Yeah. We know Erica's been out and like about and doing things with college dropout musicians all over town, and she's like, you can go to the library and find out, you know, see any engagement picture. And I'm like, what has Erica been up to? Like, how does she know this?
Also, before they get to the library, I'm sorry, I think a tornado is coming through Brooklyn.
Sweet.
Let's see here. She says, he's still plenty romantic with me, and she winks at her daughter. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so gross.
I want to move on to because this also made me laugh is Dana Adams like, oh, I'm just gonna I know how to relate to Dana. Remember, he tells Pop, I'm 12, I got to go at this alone. So he sees Dana riding her bike, so he's out trying to quote unquote fixing his bike, and he's hammering a wrench to the chain to like the pedal.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing?
He's just banging on the frame of his BMX bike, which by the way is pretty sick. I like the red and white check pattern. That was very, 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 very 80s.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Pretty sick.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, and there was a really sick, you really had to catch it. I rewound it. There was a really fucking sick, God, I got to stop cussing. You're the one that started this today.
I know.
There's a really sick Yoda poster in the library that just said read on it.
Oh.
I remember that. I remember.
Oh, I'm going to look for that now.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was dope. I totally remember that poster. I think somebody
best,
won it in like a – I think somebody won that poster in like a – not a raffle, but I think you had to like sell subscriptions or books or you had to do something for the school. And we were super – I think it was Robbie Williams won that. Yeah, Robbie Williams in like third or fourth grade I think won the Yoda poster.
Fuck Robbie Williams.
Yeah, he turned out to not be so cool later in life.
Well, he let that Yoda poster get to his head.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Don't mess with the Yoda poster. I love Adam's pickup line, too. I love the line Adam drops. He's like, just bicycles, right?
Yeah. Is this a Soviet bike? Because I only mess with American bikes, USA, USA. I was like, oh no, this is so bad. This is so bad.
So I want to point out, right now, Adam has basically lied to Dana, and he's been filming her. It's not going to get much better for Adam over the course of the episode. So then finally, the next scene is probably my favorite scene in the whole episode. Is Adam goes to Pops for advice. And Barry chimes in, like, on three or four separate occasions, just entering from different parts of the room.
Yeah. And I actually rewound that because I was like, wait, did I just imagine that happening? Did I just skip the timeline? Did I miss, like, a cut to, like, a commercial? Yeah. What does he say? I'm going to leave you with that or I'm out of here or something.
I know. Well,
I'm just trying to help.
So I love this scene, so I want to describe it a little bit. So Adam goes to Pops for advice on girls. He takes Pops up on his offer of helping him out. And Barry comes in, and he's like, I know girls. I have a girlfriend from Canada that I met in camp. And Adam goes like, couldn't you think of anything original? So Barry calls Adam a sausage gobbler, and I'm like, that's dirty.
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah, I've got a big star written down next to sausage gobbler. I was like, wow, if I ever would have called that somebody that in the 80s in front of like a grandparent or a parent or like a relative, I would have got my face smacked off my cranium.
I know. That's how you get away with cursing on network TV, if you say sausage gobbler.
Well, that's like, I mean, that's just, you know, how we were back in the 80s. You know, you basically called everyone gay. You did. What? It didn't mean you were gay. It just, you called everyone. You just called your dog gay. You called your hamster gay. You called, oh, I knocked that gay antenna. You know, it's like.
I remember being like really, I think it was in third. I know for a fact I was in third grade when I first heard the word gay. Because I was going home from school, and I asked my mom picked me up from school, and we were driving home, and I was like, Mom, what's gay? And I can't remember what her answer was. So my mom gave me all sorts of screwy answers.
She probably didn't answer you. Oh, that means funny, no. Honey.
Oh, wait, was it gay or was it retarded? It was one of those words that, like, I know my mom taught me both of those words, but my mom always gave me screwy answers for stuff. My favorite is always when I asked her once what a blowjob was, and she told me it was a hairdo.
Oh, my God. Nice.
Yeah.
Very
nice. I have a whole comedy.
Also, Barry said he met the girl at camp, and that just flashed me back to going back to camp. And I remember specifically the only girlfriends I had for like a few years were girls I met at camp, and we wrote back and forth to each other and maybe called each other once a year because it was so expensive to call. So I totally relate with being a nerd in that way. And then he says her name was Miriam Lemieux.
Yeah. Whose boobs, the only thing he knew about her is that her boobs were huge, real, and fake.
Yeah, Grandpa was like, wow, her boobs sound really confusing.
She also...
They
also went to a camp where apparently they were split up into foxy girl bunks and annoying sister bunks.
Yes. Yeah. That was... yeah.
Barry's the best.
Sister was like, I was at that camp. I was at that camp and you weren't with anybody that whole time.
I love you in a sleepaway camp. Like, they would just look you up and down and be like, "You're in the foxy girl bunk."
Oh my god.
Anyway, let's talk about the library where Bev and Erica are trying to find out who in the hell was in Nina.
I got ahead of myself. I got ahead of myself with the Yoda poster. Sorry about that. Yeah, this hadn't happened
yet. No, it's
all
good. Let's talk about microfiche.
Yes.
And all the excitement of microfiche.
I always felt like I was a detective or that I was very scientific or that I was way ahead of the curve, that I was smarter than everyone else because no one ever used the microfiche except me.
No, and you see them like on old like detective or like journalist shows, they're always like scrolling through the microfiche.
Yeah, but it's like that was the internet for us, you know? Like you could go find like a newspaper from like 1946 and look at the classified ads or the obituaries.
And then we get our bleep word of the week. And this time I couldn't figure out what it was. Could you?
Wait.
She goes off.
She said like
four bad
words.
Yeah, I know. It was, so Bev finds out, Bev's cool with Anita, but then she sees that Anita's wearing the same ring that Murray gave Bev, and she goes, she has my bleep, bleep, bleep ring.
Yeah, I think she was like, she has my motherfucking goddamn son of a bitch, and, you know, yeah, it was definitely one of those, like, expletives. It wasn't like a nice church person cussing. It was definitely a curse word.
And we know at this point Murray's going to feel the wrath. Murray's
dead. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah. He also, when Bev confronts Murray, it has one of my favorite lines in the episode where Murray goes like, fine, I'll return the ring. And Bev's like, fine. And Murray's like, I can't do that. And she's like, it was your idea. And then Murray goes, I always have terrible ideas. I gave you a used ring.
I'm filled with terrible ideas. I love that. It makes me so happy. That is such a great line.
Ideas. So sorry. The next scene I think we're going to get really giddy about if we're both into the same sort of thing. So Adam decides, this is where we start to 80s. A bit. And this is actually where our timeline gets a little screwy.
Yes.
So for Adam decides, so the advice Pops gave Adam was do a big gesture. And as you pointed out, that's a bad idea. Kind of. I don't know. That can be interpreted as anything.
We're not to that point yet. Yeah. Seems like idea as it's happening.
So Adam decides to do the Lloyd Dobler. I don't know where he got that trench coat. Under, did you see the shirt under?
Clash?
The Clash! I got excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very excited too. I was like, wow, that's a pretty advanced kid to be into the Clash at the age of 12. I mean, Rock the Casbah was in the charts, but like Clash were like, very, very, very rebellious.
So I have a Clash shirt. The Clash is one of my favorite bands. In fact, I have two favorite bands, Pink Floyd and The Clash. So I was really excited. I was really excited when I saw that shirt. And I was like, I too was like, way to go, Adam. Where'd you get that thing? But then I thought.
Yeah, it was all sparkly, brand new.
Well, then my next thought was, that's Erica's shirt. That's the Rebel of the Family shirt. That's gotta be a hand-me-down. Think about it.
I actually hung out with Mick Jones later in life in the early 90s. We'll talk about that some other time, though. Yeah, I hung out with him at a party. I drove him and Big Audio Dynamite to a party in Springfield, Missouri, and we hung out in the kitchen drinking beers and singing songs.
I hate
sounds
you.
Sounds like something made up, but I should have gotten his phone number, but I was an idiot.
That sounds kick-ass. So Adam goes.
He did offer me some cocaine, which I turned down because I was driving. And I'd never done cocaine before.
That is. I'm ruining our race.
Totally sounds like I'm making that up. It is a true story. We'll talk about that the more we get through the.
Yeah, I want to hear that story. So
John Cusack.
What is your memories of that scene? I guess I want to ask.
We all wanted to be John Cusack. We all wanted to be John Cusack. But the thing was, there was in my high school, we had a huge high school. There was one John Cusack. So you couldn't be like him. There was the guy who dressed like him, acted like him, was slightly alternative, but the girls liked him. So you couldn't dress or act like John Cusack. You know what I mean? He was already a character. You couldn't have more than one John Cusack in your high school.
Was it Robbie Williams and his Yoda poster?
No, Robbie Williams could never be that cool. But I remember a guy having that exact same trench coat. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I want to point out that Say Anything comes out in 89, so our timeline's kind of ruined, but I didn't seem to mind it. In most episodes, I kind of minded, but I guess maybe there was an advanced screening in Philly in 88, or it could be could be in 89.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too, about the timeline being different is, like, in the Midwest, where I was from, we were always, like, 4 or 5 years behind everybody else. So wearing a Clash shirt in 1989 would definitely have been far behind the curve of when the Clash were really killing it. I was still wearing hammer pants in a punk rock band in, you know, like 1991.
The Clash ended after Combat Rock. They released another album called Cut the Crap, but it was really Joe Strummer. Like, it wasn't the Clash. It was basically like Joe Strummer's solo debut was Cut the Crap by the Clash. The Clash was over at that point. It's got the song This Is England on it, which is like really the only good song off the album. But from 77 to 82, the Clash was the band, from what I've heard, from what I know.
Yeah, I really missed out on that curve. I don't know what I was into. I think I was into, like, Judas Priest.
That's cool, though, that you were into that. I love that.
Gay metal. Still love Judas Priest.
So Adam decides to do the Lloyd Dobler, and he holds the boombox over his head. And I'm going to talk about that boombox a little bit later, because I have some stuff to say about it. But it goes awry, it's the wrong room, the brother and the father are both like, what the hell? And Dana's like, what the hell? Sees him and says, what the hell? And then the sprinklers start, and I'm like, why isn't this boombox getting electrocuted? And then Adam just drops it and runs away. How much was that boombox, Sean?
Oh, my God, that was $125. You kidding me? That's exactly what I thought when he dropped that. I was like, and it had detachable speakers on it. I was like, oh, hell no. I wouldn't have left that.
Well, the reason I asked about the money is that the next scene is in the jewelry store. Bev wants a ring that costs $5,000. And Murray's like, no. Now, what we know about this family is that money really isn't an option. Or money is an option, rather. They're not affected by money. What I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they're not afraid to buy a spike ring for $5,000.
Oh, dude, the I think the tornado's coming through Queens now.
Yeah. What part of Queens are you in? Because I saw it move, and I was like,
I'm in Astoria.
Yeah, that's where it's heading. Pretty gnarly looking out there.
Sweet.
One came over my apartment a couple weeks ago. It was scary as hell.
I love rain. My phone says there's a 40% chance that it's going to rain in an hour, but it's raining now.
Yeah.
I hate apps. So
large-chested girl bunk. That's what it was. The large-chested girl bunk.
What? Wait, what was
the
that?
The large-chested girl bunk is what Barry was talking about to his sister. When she said that he didn't have a large-chested.
Right, she was in the foxy large-chested girl bunk. And, as we were saying, Bev wanted this fight ring. And for $5,000, like, you and I both know that this family can afford five. Murray's like, well, what if Adam needs braces? Now's not the time to be a father, Murray. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So anyway, he has to buy this. I love when he starts like mouthing like, don't. He's like, fine, ring the credit card. And then he's like, don't ring it.
You must love her very much. That creepy dude with the mullet that was selling the rings. That bald on top, long in the back. Oh, he's great. He's fantastic. He looks like so many people in Kansas City, Missouri.
I totally forgot to comment on the mullet. Like, that's a pretty 80s thing.
It was seriously 80s.
Did you have a mullet?
I don't think I ever had a mullet. I had a shag. Oh boy, wet t-shirt contest. Yeah,
you
still
haven't sent me a picture.
Send you a picture. Cute girls are having a dance party out in the rain right now. They like to smoke a lot of weed. Sorry, I was distracted. It wasn't a tornado.
So anyway, Murray decides to buy the fight ring, and Bev is really shoving it in his face. And then Murray goes up to the treehouse where Adam is sulking, and that's when Murray says, "I love your mother in little ways." And Adam makes this cute little video of Murray tucking Bev into on the couch, giving her the last piece of cake, rubbing her feet while she like knitted. It's adorable. And then they kiss. And I was like, holy crap, I forgot that Murray and Bev show affection.
Yeah, and before that, when they're in the treehouse, Murray's like, you're 10 years old. And Adam's like, I'm 12. And then Murray, Murray's like, tell me about it. He's like, starts to tell me about it. He's like, no, I didn't mean tell me about it. I mean, tell me about it.
I love the line where he goes, he says, oh, I'm having trouble with a girl too. And Adam goes, is it mom? And Murray's like, of course it's mom. There's a lot of great lines in this episode.
Yeah, there are a lot of great one-liners.
Yeah. So we get our song. And wouldn't you believe it, it's In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, that kind of brought a little tear to my eye.
Why? I don't know why I got excited. Why?
I love that song.
It's a great song. So Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes, released in 1986 off the album So. And that, I looked at the track listing, what a kick-ass album. The other song that's on So,
yep.
Sledgehammer.
Yes, Sledgehammer was a game changer. Oh, yeah. Everybody was.
So, I don't know. I loved it. I don't know. I've known a little bit about this album, just like off Wikipedia and other things. So I know So was nominated for a best album at the Grammys, and it lost to Graceland by Paul Simon. Classic album. And I thought this is a really interesting fact. So we know Sledgehammer's off the album So. Sledgehammer's music video won the VMA that year for the music video, and it beat Phil Collins' Land of Confusion, which is interesting because both of them were in Genesis.
Oh, yeah. I hated Phil Collins.
You don't like Land of Confusion?
I just hate Phil Collins. It's a thing with me. You'll figure that out after a while.
All right. So anyway, Dana meets. So the song's playing, and Dana does like the typical. What? I can't. Is that from a movie? The I Peer Behind the Bus thing. That's like a cliche '80s rom com thing. In my head.
I don't know. I don't know the Peer Behind the Bus thing.
But Adam has, like, the 80 shirt of all 80 shirts. Ghostbusters.
Yes. I was wondering, did he wear that before? Or is that the first time?
I feel like he's going to wear it a lot. Oh, he had the Ghostbusters poster in his room. That's where we know him in Ghostbusters from. So Dana returns the boombox. She fell for Adam's creepiness and lying. I wanted to ask you about this boombox because Dana says, "I brought your boombox," and she lets out a grunt as she picks up the boombox. How heavy is that boombox?
Oh, they're heavy as fuck. They had like 8 D cell batteries in it. Like, remember Do the Right Thing? He had D batteries in his boombox. D motherfucker D. Yeah, those things were super heavy. Super heavy.
How long does 8 D cell batteries last?
Maybe like 13 hours with a tape. I don't know. Cassette.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess.
What was your boombox? Did you have a boombox?
Oh yeah, I think it was Panasonic. I think I had the dual cassette. Yeah, it was loud as fuck, too. I used to get in trouble with it. I used to take it everywhere playing Ozzy and Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's sick. So I wanted to point out the line. Adam goes, "Doesn't your father not want you to see me?" And Dana goes, "I don't listen to my father." Dude, Dana's going to be a stripper. It's already settled. It all starts with a daddy issue.
Yeah. And then I think we're getting close on time here. Bev says she's going to take the ring back, and he's like, "No, there's no refunds." And she's like, I'll guilt him into it. That's what I do.
Oh, you know Bev is not going to take no for an answer.
No. She'll just bat her eyelashes in her bedazzled jumpsuit.
No, I think Bev's going to bring more wrath than a bedazzled suit. Bev is relentless. Speaking of relentless, Barry says to Pops, "Okay, I think I want to take your advice now." And Pops goes, "What's wrong with Marion?" He's like, "Ah, we're having trouble." And Pops is like, "She's not real."
Yeah, that was good. They kept hammering that point. Beating that dead horse. She's not real. She's not real. She's not real.
And then we get the Goldberg's dedication at the end. Murray, the real Murray, gave Bev, the real Bev, an actual used ring. So that was cool. That was cool to see. Did you see Bev's? We're running low on time. Then we get our post credit of Murray, Murray, Murray with the sample keyboard. And that was awesome.
That was definitely awesome. It's only getting more awesome.
Yeah, I've been Reuben Wolf.
I've been Sean Gibbs. I'm still Sean Gibbs.
See you next week.
He's still Reuben Wolf. See you next week.